And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the firehouse here at our studios in Marion. You are now tuned in to the hottest sports show in Central Ohio here. It's time for Fired Up. At this point now, I'll turn it over to the leader of this brigade, our chief here. How's it going tonight, everybody?
Going good. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks
for having us back on again tonight. We are the Fire Brigade. We're coming to you on a Monday night from the studios at WWGH. You got the fire chief here along with Matt and Braden. And joining us from Oklahoma is Colton, fresh off his appearance on SportsCenter this weekend. So we got some royalty in the house tonight. We're going to start with recapping the NFL games over the weekend. Colton, you want to lead us off? Let's do the Green Bay Tampa Bay game first.
I'll start us off here. Buccaneers, got the win by a score of 31-26 against the Packers. Kind of a game of two halves, really. Buccaneers pretty much dominated the first half. Brady looked real good. The Packers just had no answer for Brady in the first half. Second half was a little bit different story. Green Bay kind of figured out that Tampa Bay offense a little bit, got some stops that they needed, scored a few more touchdowns to make it a little bit closer. But in the end, that Tampa defense really stepped up in the second half, really bailed out the offense a couple of different times. Just when you thought Green Bay had a chance, Tampa Bay really put the nail in the coffin. Overall, the Tampa defense had 5 sacks, 8 quarterback hits, 1 interception and 1 fumble recovery. The defense was the difference for Tampa. They're going to need that same kind of performance going forward in the Super Bowl.
All right, very good. Braden?
Yeah, I think that Buccaneers defense was really a difference maker in it. I mean, Brady had 3 interceptions, definitely didn't play a perfect game at all. But, I mean, that defense really held still. I mean, only giving 6 points up on those 3 turnovers was a real big it was a big advantage to them. I mean, I was just really impressed with them overall. I mean, I'd love to see the Buccaneers go into KC, but we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I agree. It was a heck of a game. 2 great quarterbacks going at it. And, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better matchup, really. But, I mean, to me, it came down to coaching in that game. We saw a week ago, we saw Kansas City go for it on 4th and short to get the first down and seal the game. Green Bay had a chance to win it there at the end to go for it on 4th down, and the coach elected not to kick the field goal, and they never got the ball back. Now, that some will say had a little to do with the officiating. I could go either way on that. I feel the officials didn't call that call all game long. It did seem to be the wrong time to call it, but in the end, it is a penalty. It was a call that could be made. I don't know that it was the right call to make with the way they've officiated all game long. But, hats off to Tampa Bay. They did what they needed to do to win. They deserve to take that home.
Very good. No, I agree with you guys. They held Tom Brady to a pretty low pat. He was only a QB rating of 75.3, but Tampa's defense held the great Aaron Rodgers down to 66.8 quarterback rating.
Which if I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, didn't last week you say it was going to come down to the front 7?
Yeah, and I think we all agreed on that. Jason Pierre-Paul was an absolute stud. 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss. But I'm gonna give you a little tidbit that I thought was a big part of the game that people often overlook, and that was Mickens on kick returns. He averaged 24 yards on each kick return. Got that Tampa Bay offense in good field position a couple different times. So that's something that shouldn't be overlooked. Green Bay, their defense only got 1 sack or. Only gave up 1. Their offensive line only gave up 1 sack. I'm sorry, and Rodgers had a decent day, but Tampa Bay's defense rose up when they needed to, and that was the big point of the game. Tom Brady did not look like he did the week before, and but their defense bailed him out. So
iterate to Terry's points about the front 7 getting pressure. Tampa likes to bring a blitz with a lot of corners and safeties, but they weren't able to do that against, you know, Rodgers, so they had to get pressure with that front seven. So, you know, they were able to get pressure without bringing, you know, extra guys to get in there and get on Rodgers. So, you know, hats off to Todd Bowles on a well-coached defense there.
Absolutely.
Hey, just one more thing real quick, and I didn't hear this, so correct me if – how did Leonard Fournette and Shady – I didn't hear how did they have any – like Shady McCoy and Fournette as far as rushing? Or?
It was more in the passing game.
Yeah, I didn't really hear a lot about them. That's
the game had a big enough impact, I think, to kind of mix it up for Green Bay – or mix it up for Tampa Bay, I'm sorry. You know, not a huge impact, but just enough to kind of mix things up to kind of set up that play action pass for Tampa.
Keep the defense honest, yeah.
Well, they had a couple of nice, really good screen plays too with Fournette, and I think he even had a couple of nice catches coming out of the backfield too. Really, he was bigger in the passing game than
he was. Yeah, he had a big run in the second quarter though with the touchdown, 20-yard run. I mean, he shook a couple defenders and busted right. I mean, and the limited carries he did have, I mean, he made a little bit of an impact, but not as much as their passing game did.
Right. All right, well, let's move on to that Chiefs-Bills game. I mean, I don't know. I think Braden might have been the only one that.
Yeah, they didn't hold up too well for me out there.
Picked the Bills out there, so we get to harass him a little bit. But I'll tell you what I think was the let me. I told you Travis Kelce's probably one of my favorite players in the NFL, and just a little. No, he was coached by Marion's own Barry Egan in high school up at Cleveland Heights. So he was a three-sport athlete up there for Cleveland Heights, coached by our own Barry Egan right here from Marion, Ohio. So shout out to Barry.
But I think the key to it was the Chiefs' defense did what nobody's been able to do all season long, and that was shut down Diggs.
Yep.
I mean, he had a couple catches, but, you know, he wasn't he wasn't the dominant. Him and Josh Allen weren't the dominating force that they had been in the last couple of games. And I tell you what, that Josh Allen kid, he's a competitor, man. He did all he could do. I think he was playing his heart out, even, you know, well, when the Chiefs had the game pretty well in hand, he's still out there giving it 110%. And, you know, he led the team in rushing as a quarterback. And let's face, I mean, he's an athlete, but he's no Lamar Jackson, and still led the team in running. So, you know, they just didn't have enough for him. That combination of Hill and Kelce were, you know, almost 300 yards of offense between the two of them, and just a phenomenal day for those two guys.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill, he's just next to unstoppable. He's the difference in any game. You come in with him, and, you know, you're always going to have a chance to put up some offensive numbers. And, I personally have been really surprised at how well the playoffs in general have been this year. It seems like every game has been a contest.
Yeah.
And I've been really happy with it. We're seeing some parity in the NFL finally. You know, games are all close.
Yep.
You don't know who's going to win. And I'm loving it. It's been a great year for the NFL.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, hats off to him for getting the season in.
Yeah, no right. Kidding. Yeah, I think we were all questioning that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bills got off to that 9-0 start, and I mean, it was looking a little bright for him, but Mahomes did as he usually does and came back stomping harder than ever before. I mean, he really just stood right on their necks and didn't let up until the end. I mean, 21 points in that second quarter, that was really the difference maker, and I mean, at halftime, you kind of knew it wasn't going to be a game after that.
Well, the highlights I seen, too, it seemed like Kansas City's secondary was just all over the place. I mean, it seemed like every time Josh Allen tried to go deep, either the Honey Badger was there, or somebody was there, or he was getting disrupted. They were blitzing.
That secondary definitely stepped up.
But
in
he,
this
he
game.
Has that never say die attitude. Dude,
oh,
man.
Definitely.
I'm telling you, he'll definitely be back.
Josh Allen will be back next year.
Colton, you wanna wrap this up for us?
Yeah, no. For me, the difference in the game was the red zone. You know, the Chiefs 5 red zone trips, 35 points for the Chiefs. The Bills 5 red zone trips, only 18 points. You know, right there is a 17 point swing.
Yeah.
You know, really, you know, basically the difference maker in the game.
Yeah,
you
good
know, the
call.
Chiefs made it. They took advantage of every red zone opportunity they got. The Bills, you know, didn't score as many points, you know, had to settle for more field goals. You know, for me, the Chiefs defense, you know, did a little bend but don't break kind of mentality. And, you know, like Dad said, you know, really limited Stephon Diggs to some low numbers. And that was the difference in the game.
good day for everybody else, but low numbers for Stephon Diggs. The kid's a stud. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, no doubt. All right. Well, we're not going to do a lot of stuff on the Super Bowl. I know everybody's looking forward to it. We got another our regular weekly show. We'll talk about it next week, and we're going to do a special on Super Bowl Sunday. We're going to talk the whole time of nothing but Super Bowl. So we're not going to really get into too much about the Super Bowl or doing our picks for tonight. But I know it's a big game. Everybody's looking forward to it. Can Tom get one more ring on that? You know, however many fingers he's got left. So you know, it's like, everybody's looking forward to it. We're going to hold off on that. We're going to bring you a little bit of college football coverage, basketball, or college basketball coverage now. Some big games that we picked out, five games that were important games this week, and kind of give you some highlights from that. Colton's going to start us off.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take the first game here. I got number three, Villanova, going on the road against UConn. That game's on Thursday, 9 o'clock Eastern time, so that should be good Big East battle here. Villanova with a 10-1, 5-0 in the Big East. They're first in the Big East right now. They're riding an 8-game winning streak going into this game, scoring about 79 points per game, good for first in the conference, and only giving up about 65 points a game, which is good for second in the conference. So, you know, they're scoring a lot of points, and they're limiting their opponents to, you know, very few points. They're also, you know, one of those teams that may, you know, live and die by the three ball. They're, you know, shooting it as a team about 38%, which is, you know, first in the conference. So, you know, they're kind of, you know, living and dying by that three ball. You know, on the other side, you got Connecticut, 7-3 overall, 4-3 in the Big East, sitting fifth. They're coming into the game, you know, two-game losing streak. So they're looking to try to break that losing streak and get back on the winning path, make an impact here in the Big East. Only scoring about 70 points per game, good for ninth in the conference, but they're only giving up 64 points per game, you know, good for first in the conference. They do lead the conference in offensive rebounds, so, you know, they're looking to get a lot of putbacks, a lot of easy points, you know, off of misses. So I look for this game to be, you know, pretty heated battle, pretty low scoring, but Villanova's led by, you know, some veteran guards. They got the more veteran team, I think, and Villanova gets a win on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's a big rivalry game for these two teams, too, the two-story programs out there in the East. And, yeah, this is a big game for these two teams. Mm-hmm. All right, Braden, what you got?
Well, out in the Pac-12 this week, we got Oregon and UCLA. Oregon's just coming off a fresh loss to Oregon State, their rival, by 11. I mean, they're not ranked anymore. UCLA sitting at 24th right now. Last game of UCLA was a tough loss to Stanford. Ended up losing on a buzzer beater tipper at 75-74. I just think that Oregon, that backcourt with Duarte and Eugene. I mean, Eugene averaging almost 17 points a game. Duarte sitting about 18.4. I think they're going to be too much for UCLA to handle. I mean, I'd like to say UCLA wins just to keep a ranked team in the Pac-12 up in the AP top 25, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think Oregon's going to pull away with this one.
All right, very good. Matt?
Yeah, I got the big matchup in the Big Ten this week. It's Iowa traveling to Illinois, and this should be a good matchup. We're looking at two teams that are scoring quite a bit this year. Iowa's averaging 90 points a game.
Wow.
To Illinois's 82. You don't really see that in college basketball. That's actually a lot of points for these college teams. Illinois shooting the three ball at a 40% clip, and Iowa's really close behind them, shooting at 38% from the three ball. Illinois shooting 51% from the floor, and Iowa 49%. So, I mean, these are two very well-matched teams. I think it's going to come down to two matchups on the night. You got Luka Garza for Iowa going against Kofi Cockburn. And that's two bigs. Luka hasn't really seen a lot of bigs this year that can handle him. I think if Kofi can give him some trouble, you know, I think Illinois is going to have a good chance in this. Another matchup to watch in this game is Jordan Bohannon and Ayo Dosunmu. Two good guards, and I think those four will be the difference in the game. I think whichever pair comes out better is going to come home with the win. I think Illinois actually has a good shot to pull an upset here.
All right, very good. All right, well,
who'd you say, Illinois?
Yep, Illinois.
I got the Virginia Tech game in the ACC, number 8 Virginia at 10-2 and number 20 Virginia Tech at 11-3. There's some other similarities between these teams. They're both scoring about 73 points a game. However, Virginia's only giving up 60 a game, and Virginia Tech's giving up 66. So a little bit of edge of Virginia there, plus the senior leadership on that Virginia team with Hauser leading the team in points and rebounds, and Huff, the 7-1 guy in the middle, leading the team in blocks. But if you look at the games that they played, Virginia's only played two ranked teams all season. And one of them was Gonzaga, and they lost, which Gonzaga's a powerhouse, no doubt, number one team in the country, but they lost big to Gonzaga. And then the other game was number 12 Clemson, and they beat Clemson. So, you know, they split against ranked teams this year so far. Virginia, they got some quality wins. They've beaten three ranked teams. They got Villanova, the number 3 team in the country. They beat them early in the season. They also beat Clemson, and they beat number 19 Duke. So, you know, Virginia Tech's played some tough teams already this year. They got Aluma. He's leading the team in points, rebounds, and blocks. So I think Virginia Tech playing a good defense, if they shut him down, I think Virginia's got a pretty good chance to win this. Virginia Tech's coming off a 15-point loss to an unranked Syracuse team, who, by the way, Virginia's playing as we speak. I haven't got an update on that score here, but they're playing Virginia's playing Syracuse tonight. But I look for that veteran leadership on Virginia's team to pull this out. I give the edge of number 8 Virginia over Virginia Tech. And that game is Saturday at 6:00.
Yeah, and then I'm gonna wrap it up here. I got the big game, kind of a cross sectional game here. We got number 15 Kansas going on the road against number 18 Tennessee. That game's Saturday night at 6:00. So both these teams are coming in. Kansas with a 3-game losing streak. You don't see that very often with Kansas. And Tennessee coming into the game with a two-game losing streak. So both teams are going to be looking to try to get off those losing streaks, get back on the winning path here. So I look for this game to be pretty competitive throughout. Kansas 10-5, Tennessee 10-3. Both teams really like to play, protect the paint. Tennessee is 20th in the nation at 5.1 blocks per game. Wow. And Kansas is right there behind them with 4.3 blocks per game. So, both teams have some big guys, want to protect the paint, not going to get too many easy buckets in the lane. Tennessee does have, quite a few, big guys they can throw at you. But I like Kansas to get off their losing streak. Both teams are coached by, exceptional coaches. Bill Self in Kansas and then Rick Barnes in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. But I give the edge to Kansas in this one. I'm picking the Jayhawks to get off that losing streak.
Where's that game being played at, Colton?
It is going to be played at Tennessee.
Okay. All right. I wasn't sure where they were playing. Well, that's all we're going to do on college basketball this week. Before we move on, I forgot to give out the number. If anybody wants to call in with a comment or a question for the board here, the number here at WWGH is 740-383-9944. Welcome your callers to if you have a question or a comment. And we got some other stuff we want to get to, but we'll take your calls anytime during the show. We're going to switch things up a little bit, get into the NBA a little bit. It's way early in the season, I think, to really get too far in depth, but we wanted to kind of give you a rundown of what our thoughts were on the season so far, and going to have each panel member here pick their early season MVP, champion picks, a surprise team, and a disappointment team to kind of get us started on the NBA season. So, Braden, you want to lead us off?
Yeah, my MVP this year so far, I have Nikola Jokic. I mean, Nuggets are sitting fifth seed right now. But Jokic is on a tear. I mean, he's averaging 25.8 points per game, 12 boards, and 9.6 assists. I mean, in a league that the center is a dying position, he's showing that there is still value out there. I mean, he's shooting 56% from the field. I mean, he's an 83-point free throw shooter, so he has all the intangibles right there. He's almost averaging a triple-double. He's third right now in the league in assists. I mean, he's truly a point center, and he can defend and play all five positions. I mean, on defense, he's solid. I mean, he doesn't really get that many blocks per game, only averaging 0.5, but, I mean, he's still a presence out there too. And then my title this year, I still think the Lakers. I don't really see a team right now that have played as consistent as they are. I mean, you have Brooklyn with the three-headed monster out there, but I just don't think that there's anybody that really compares with them. And obviously, they showed the Clippers couldn't really hold with them last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Paul George and Kawhi not playing a lot of games together, I just don't think that pair is going to blend well too much. And then my surprising team is actually Cleveland. With that backcourt of Colin Sexton and Garland, I mean, Sexton's really proved that he can be a superstar out there with the pickup of also Jared Allen, Torian Prince coming off the bench. They really have a lot of depth, and right now they're killing it. And then my most disappointing team out there is Miami. I mean, sitting at 6-9, and you're just coming off an NBA Finals trip. I don't understand it at all. I know that.
We're gonna have you pause there, Braden. We got a caller.
Caller,
go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's things going tonight?
All right.
Doing good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I'm just wondering what you guys think about the Big Ten and basketball this year with COVID issues and games that are missing. Michigan's completely on hold right now. There's some really, really good teams in the Big Ten, and I was wondering how you think things are going to finish up in Big Ten basketball this year.
Well, I hope we can just finish. That's my goal. Yeah, it kind of stinks for Michigan right now. They're really playing good and coming into maybe a softer part of their season right now. Maybe, you know, where they could take a deep breath a little bit and, you know, they're suspending play. So it's kind of a bad break for them. But I think there's enough talent on that team, enough leadership on that team that they'll come back after the break. My opinion, the Big Ten this year is the toughest conference in basketball. I mean, you look at all the teams they got in the top 10 right now, I think you're going to see legitimately seven teams come out of the Big Ten and make it to the dance.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking at maybe 6 to 8 teams making the tournament. So, yeah, it's top to bottom. It's a tough league this year with a lot of good ball players. I hope we can just get COVID, you know, out of the way enough that they can play like they got the football season through and hopefully make it through. And, you know, hopefully one of those Big Ten teams can bring a title home. Because if my Buckeyes can't do it, I'd love to see anybody else in the Big Ten do it.
Yeah,
even the Mason Blue.
I think you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes. You know, with all this COVID stuff happening, you know, even the protocols for March Madness are, you know, a little bit crazy just because of the times that we're facing. So we're just hoping to get through the season and be able to crown, you know, a champion of some sort.
All right.
Yeah, I'd love to see Michigan out there, though. I mean, only losing one game so far. I'd love to see what this season has in store for them, so hopefully they can be out there to finish it off.
And I think Michigan did a good job bringing Juwan Howard back, having a Michigan man back in there and finishing what Beeline started.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right, Braden, you want to wrap up your disappointing team there in the NBA?
Yeah, my disappointing team, like I said before, I have Miami. They're sitting at 6-9 right now. I know Jimmy Butler hasn't played a lot of games for him so far this year. I mean, you always expect a defending NBA finalist to give something out there, and lately they just haven't played with a lot of consistency, and I'd love to see him come back.
Yeah.
All right, well, I broke the NBA down a little different than Braden. You know, I was looking at the MVP chase, and right now I don't see a real front runner for the MVP. Statistically, there's nobody taking over multiple categories. You know, there's all kinds of people in the leaderboards in the top five of the NBA right now.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you always got to stick with the best players on the best teams. So kind of four guys to watch right now for the MVP. I'd say Embiid, Antetokounmpo, LeBron, and Kawhi. I think those are four of the best players on four of the best teams. It always comes down to that. And, You know, I think LeBron's probably going to get a little more love this year after he spoke out last year not being too happy not getting the MVP. So I think really he's probably the leader right now in the clubhouse. Breaking down the title chances right now, I broke that down a little differently too, being so early. I picked just a couple teams from each side. I think from the West, I like the Clippers and the Lakers. You know, they're both tearing it up right now, leading the conference. And from the East, I'm big on the 76ers, and I still think Boston has a lot. They're young, and I know they're in third in the conference right now, but there's just a lot of good players there, and I think they're going to just get better as the year goes on. Biggest surprise is the same as my biggest disappointment. It's got to be the Nets right now. They're not gelling. They just got taken to the woodshed by the Cavs twice in a week. I mean, that experiment is not working at this point, and I hope they can pull it together, because that's a lot of talent on that team. And you know, I think New Jersey deserves a winner. They keep trying. They keep throwing money at it. Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they can turn something around.
Is it the three-headed monster there, or is it Steve Nash? What's the problem there?
I don't know.
I think they just haven't had a chance to gel yet. I think they will get better, but right now it's just not happening.
I'm able to hear the phone.
All right.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
You know, we'll take the round table here next. So for me, the MVP. You know, I got to give a shout out to my boy Luka Doncic on the Dallas Mavericks. I think he's playing at an exceptional level. I think at the same time, his record, you know, Dallas's record is not as good as they want it to be at this point in the season. Obviously, a lot of games to be played, but, you know, I think for him to have an even better chance to win, he's got to improve that winning percentage, win quite a few games this year for Dallas to have a real chance. But, you know, similar to what Braden said with Jokic, Doncic is almost averaging a triple-double himself as a guard. You know, 26.7 points per game, 9.7 rebounds. You know, that 9.7 rebounds, he's leading the league among guards in rebounds. So that's something to look at. And then 9.5 assists per game. So, you know, I look for him to make some noise in that MVP race. So, you know, as long as he can, you know, stay healthy this year, I think he has a legit shot to win it. As far as, you know, who's going to win the finals, or, you know, kind of a front runner for that, I'm staying with the Los Angeles team, but I'm not picking the Lakers. I'm going with the Clippers. Sitting at 13-4, you know, first in the West right now. For me, the difference is on the defensive end. In a league where, you know, nobody plays defense, you know, I really do value the defensive end. And they're only giving up about 107 points per game. You know, that's good for fourth best in the league. You know, I think that they just have a lot of different, you know, versatile players that they can, you know, throw at you at a given, you know, any given time. You know, Kawhi, Paul George, you know, Patrick Beverley, Serge Ibaka, a new addition to the Clippers. You know, I think that's just a bunch of different, you know, matchup nightmares that they can throw at, you know, the best of the best, like LeBron or Anthony Davis, or even over in the East at Kyrie and James Harden. So I look for them to, you know, correct their wrongs from last season, you know, losing to the Nuggets before the conference finals. You know, kind of a collapse there. But I look for them to right the ship this year and win the finals.
Okay.
For me, surprising team, just like Braden said, I'm going to have to go with the Cavs. Sitting at 8-8 in the East in their sixth. In the East right now, I know it's you know, real early, but this was a team that went 19-46 last year, dead last in the East. So, you know, this is a huge step up for them. You know, and it, like I said, they're getting it done on the defensive end. So that for me is rewarding. They're only giving up about 108 points per game, but then they're averaging almost 10 steals per game, which is almost a historic mark in across the NBA, you know, all time. So I don't expect them to continue this trend for the rest of the year, but it will be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out in Cleveland.
All right.
For me, the most disappointing team has to be the Toronto Raptors, sitting at 7-9, ninth in the East right now. You know, last year they went 53-19, better record last year than even when they won the NBA Finals. You know, finished second in the East last year, and they were one game away from making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. now they're, you know, sitting on the outside of the playoffs. You know, I think the losses of Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol kind of are hurting them. Their defensive efficiency this year, not as well as it has been in years past. So we'll see if they can right the ship and get it figured out.
All right. Well, you're going to hear kind of a lot of the same things, but maybe a couple changes. I got Luka Doncic as a early season MVP myself, and because it's leading the team in three categories on a team that's 8-8, you know, he's doing it all. He's a triple double machine, and I think for him to win an MVP, the Mavericks overall, I don't know if there's that much more room for him to improve, but the Mavericks overall have to improve. Even though that might not be quite fair, let's face it, they don't take an MVP off of a 500 team. So, but I think the more him and Porzingis gets himself back into, you know, game shape, and the more they play together, I think you'll see their win totals start to add up a little bit. So that's my early season pick. I was back and forth between the Lakers and the Clippers. I lean more towards the Lakers because they're outscoring their opponents by 10 points a game right now. So, you know, I think your NBA champion is going to come from the West again this year.
Yep.
It's going to be one of those two teams from L.A. And, again, my surprise is the Cavs. You know, Bickerstaff, it's got that team at 8-7 with, you know, their Colin Sexton's leading the team at 27 points a game. He was their first-rounder. Cavs first-round pick in 2018. Andre Drummond, who was the Pistons' first-round pick, he's leading the team in rebounds. He's new to the team this year in a trade. And then Darius Garland is a first-rounder in 2019 by the Cavs. So, you know, the Cavs are making good use of their first-round picks. Two of their first-round picks the last few years are leading a category in stats. So I think that, you know, says something for the Cavs on how they're developing these young players. You know, the rest of these guys on this team, you barely even heard of. You look down there and you see D. Wade on the schedule, but it ain't Dwayne. You know, it's a guy they signed from the G League. It's like, you know, who are these guys? But, you know, they're playing good ball right now. Like Matt said about the Nets, you know, they took the Nets and whooped them two games in a row. You know, that's a formidable task. So my disappointment's got to be the New Orleans Pelicans right now. You know, they got some star power on that team. And I think Zion, he's playing well. But, you know, you got Ingram, you got Bledsoe, and it just doesn't seem like that team is pulling together and getting those quality wins. So right now, I think, and hopefully they'll turn it around. I think there's some good ball players on that team. Hopefully they can get the chemistry right and, you know, turn their season around and get into the playoff hunt before they get buried too far. So
Yep. That's
our NBA wrap-up. Before we get into some other topics, I want to hit on something that we all saw coming in tonight. The kid from Cincinnati, Joe Burrow. You know, here's a kid that, you know, obviously we saw he's a fierce competitor. It was a gruesome injury he suffered. Nobody wanted to see that. But not only is he a fierce competitor, but the kid's got a big heart. You know, he's auctioning off a pair of signed cleats for the Athens County Food Pantry, and you know, in a day and age where a lot of athletes don't, you know, they forget about where they came from and lose track of their roots. Here's a kid that's staying true to, you know, an impoverished area in Ohio, and you know, staying true to his people down there. There's good people in the Athens area, and Joe's trying to look out for him. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Joe Burrow.
Kudos to Joe Burrow.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Classic.
Absolutely, stand up guy on and off the field.
Yes.
You know, he's got a very bright future there in Cincinnati.
Well, on a crappy cold day like today, let's talk a little bit of golf. How's that?
Warm us up a little bit with some golf. Yeah.
Again, we'll take your calls 740-383-9944. We'll welcome your calls, and if you got a question or a comment, we'll get you on the air. Let's talk about Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Just had a back surgery, not a major back surgery, but just had another back procedure this week or this past week. I think the big question is, you know, he's sitting at 15 majors. Is he ever going to get to 18? Is he going to catch up to the great Jack Nicklaus? I'll tell you what we'll do here, fellas. I'm going to give you three reasons why I think he won't catch Jack Nicklaus, and then you try to prove me wrong. The one thing, I don't think the top 10 golfers in the world are any better than they were 40 years ago, but I think the whole field is better than the field was 40
absolutely
years
agree.
Ago.
Absolutely
agree. Yeah.
I think that's what it just makes it that much tougher to win, because you got a guy, you can have a guy coming from anywhere in the top 200 golfers in the world to win a major. I just think the field top to bottom's better. That's one reason why I think he won't catch Jack.
Do you think that he made that field better?
Oh, absolutely. It's his own fault. Yeah. It's Tiger's fault.
He's a victim of his own circuit or whatever.
The field might be better, but I feel like it's less consistent in the top, though. Because, I mean, you had some greats back when Jack played that dominated.
No, he's a victim of his own success. Really.
Yeah.
My second reason why I don't think he's gonna pass Jack, there's only been three people over the age of 45 win a major.
Oh, wow.
Tough to do, you know, and one of those guys was back in the 1800s. So, so it's just a tough thing to do after 45 years old. My last reason, injuries just lead to fewer chances. You know, Tiger used to swing out of his shoes when he was younger, and that's coming back to haunt him now too with the back issue. So, you know, the more injuries you suffer, you see it in a lot of sports. Your chances just are dwindling. So, prove me wrong, fellas. Tell me what you got.
I'm right there with you. I don't think he'll get there, and I don't know if it's a drive thing, but I don't see the consistency from him anymore. I mean, back when he was on, and I mean, he'd go tournament after tournament after tournament, just killing the ball, always making the putts nobody could believe you could make. Now he'll have a day of that. You'll see flashes of it, and he just can't keep it going. He just doesn't have that same consistency. I don't know if it's the injuries that have caused it, or if it's the drive and love for the game. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like the same guy. I mean, injuries aside, he seems different on the course. Yeah. I just don't see that same killer instinct, and I agree. I don't think he gets there.
Yeah, you see those flashes of brilliance just enough to keep you watching.
Yeah.
Braden,
what do you think?
No, yeah. I'm going to go contrary to you guys', you know, your prediction there. I think he at least ties it. I don't think he's going to pass. I think he at least ties it. I mean, you're talking about one of the the greatest golfers of all time. I mean, and every time you start to doubt Tiger, he just goes out there and proves you wrong. I mean, look at 2019, the Masters.
Can we get you to pause?
We got
a caller here.
Okay.
Caller, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. This past weekend, the UFC was big talk, and I was able to catch that matchup, Conor McGregor versus Poirier. Any thoughts on that? You guys haven't talked about that one.
We talked about it a little bit last week, but we talked about it before the show. We were kind of going round table here before the show amongst ourselves, and the big question is, I mean, you know, we all thought Poirier had a chance. The guy's a good fighter, but I think the big question that everybody's wondering right now is this: have you seen the last of Conor McGregor in the octagon? You know, I know he wants to box one more time, but I guess what's your thoughts on that, caller? Do you think we've seen the last of Conor McGregor?
Sadly, I do not. I was pulling for our USA guy, and he pulled it off that evening. We watched the whole card that night, and there was a couple guys from the U.S. that pulled off some big wins. So I'm all about the young folks from America, so we were cheering them on while others were, I know, really hoping and praying that McGregor would do it, just because he is kind of known as the bad boy and everybody loves to hate him, I guess. But no, I thought it was a good matchup. Never watched UFC before in my life, had occasion to do so, and yeah, walked away thinking, wow, those kicks didn't look like they hurt that much, but I was quickly corrected and said, let me kick you for 5 minutes.
Yeah, very good. No, I actually kind of predicted a Poirier win, but I thought it'd be by submission. But to see McGregor get knocked out or TKO'd in the second round was a surprise. And I think, you know, that's a sport, UFC's a sport where, you know, you see a guy rise to the top pretty quick, but, man, when their skills start to diminish, it's just as quick a drop-off coming off the other side. And, yeah, I mean, Connor's a guy that everybody loves to hate. He's really, you know, he's been good for the sport. I think he's, you know,
been an ambassador for
and really, you know, broadened the viewership for the sport. Mm-hmm. But I think he's done. I don't think you'll see Conor McGregor back in the ring again.
Yeah, I think the loss is really falling off.
At his press conference, it didn't sound like he was really too enthused about coming back.
He sounded defeated. Yeah, he really did.
Little stand-up act, though, I felt like. I mean, he really gave Poirier the credit he really deserved.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I was happy about that. Yeah.
Colton, you got any thoughts on that from Oklahoma?
Yeah, nothing major, but, I don't think you'll see him back in the octagon. I think it's just, it's a whole different animal. I mean, he's getting older, and I just don't think the stamina, the same, fight and drive is there, you know, that he had when he was making that rise to the top. So I think we've seen the last of the Irish champion.
All right, very good. Well, we appreciate your call. Hit us back anytime you got more questions, and we'll keep an eye on these guys from the USA. Hopefully we can get the red, white, and blue with some belts on there.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you. Colton, you want to wrap up with your thoughts on Tiger?
Yeah, no, like I said, it's one of those things. I think he's going to at least tie Jack. I don't see him maybe passing Jack. I mean, yeah, he is getting older, 45 years of age. But it's one of those things for me that, every time we start to doubt Tiger, he goes out and does something that, hasn't been done before, or, we don't see.
We got another caller.
Go ahead, caller. You're on.
Speaking of people leaving their sport, I'm going to ask you what your thoughts are on someone possibly leaving their team, and I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers and his comments after the game yesterday and the fact that he may be looking to go elsewhere instead of coming back to Green Bay. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question, caller. Yeah. Thanks for the call. Yes. I think everybody kind of was reading between the lines there a little bit at the press conference, and hopefully
another guy I thought that sounded defeated at
hopefully it was just his emotion. It was a big game, a tough game to lose. I know he was upset with the call there on, he would have liked to have went for it on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. I think Aaron Rodgers belongs in a Green Bay uniform. He's been a great ambassador for that franchise, taking over for the gunslinger Brett Favre. But I'd hate to see him in any other uniform but a Green Bay uniform. But that's what I said about Tom Brady too. And look what he's doing. So if they're not going to give him a fair shake, then I think he's still got a couple good years left. I'm not sure where he's at with his contract, but, I would just hate to see him leave Green Bay.
Yeah, I think it's more than just that loss, too. I think it's been the whole season. They drafted his replacement, I mean, he's not feeling the love in Green Bay. So I can see him getting out of town and trying to win a Super Bowl elsewhere.
Yeah.
For sure, Aaron Rodgers now, one and four in NFC Championship games. So, that it's taking a toll on him that, he gets so close but just, can't get over the hump. I don't know. It will be interesting to see what he does this offseason.
All right.
Well, you guys brought up Brett Favre, him replacing Brett Favre. I'd like to ask, do you think there's a possibility if he is, I think I read somewhere maybe where he's got 3 years left on his contract, but if that's the case, but if he can get out, would this possibly cause a potential shakeup with the number one pick because of his availability to, two teams? And I've also heard recently that, speaking of Brett Favre, that he is advocating for Urban Meyer to not draft Trevor Lawrence as their number one pick overall, and to take Devontae Smith, am I saying the right name, So what are your thoughts on those things?
Good. Yeah, I don't know. That's a lot to swallow. I think that anywhere that Aaron Rodgers goes, whether he stays in Green Bay or anywhere he goes, you know, I think, like I said, I think he's still got some quality in that arm of his. I think it's, you know, a good pickup for a team if the Green Bay's, you know, if they're looking to clear some cap space, that might be a way for him to go. You know, by trading him, and, you know, move themselves up in the draft. I don't know. Get a first rounder or something for him. I don't know. We'll see. I guess. You know.
I don't think it changes the number one overall pick. I think that's pretty well set in stone. I do like what Brett Favre said, though. A great receiver can make a big difference. I mean, look at what Randy Moss did back in the day, and look at what Tyreek Hill's doing right now.
Yeah. Right.
I mean. That can make all the difference, but you still got to have a guy to get the ball to them, and they need a quarterback too.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're talking about one of the all-time greats in Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you trade him away, are those picks ever really going to be worth it? I mean, honestly, I mean, you're giving up, you know, one of the best QBs ever for draft picks. I mean, that's a high expectation.
Yeah. For an unknown, giving up a great for an unknown commodity.
If I'm Green Bay, I'm not looking to trade him unless he wants out of Green Bay.
All right. Hey, that's all the time we got tonight. Join us again this Wednesday at 7:15. We'll see you. Thanks for calling in.
You're fired up.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did...